Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Hello, Beth.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing peachy.
Oh, good.
Today we're continuing our conversation about exercise and menopause.
It just warms my heart that we're doing so many episodes about exercise.
I know. You're probably the only one. If listeners are like me, they're like, exercise again, boo.
Whatever.
Boo.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope to get there someday.
You will. As Michelle said in our previous episode, you just got to change your
mindset around
your
it.
Mindset around it.
I have started saying I'm working toward instead of I'm failing at.
There you go. Well, that is a step in the right direction.
I know, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. So today we're talking to actually one of my friends. Her name is Leni Hoffman. She's pretty awesome. Leni is a certified menopause fitness coach and health coach. She explores how women can use movement to feel stronger, more energized, and more empowered during menopause.
That would feel nice.
I know, right? And this was pretty much from her own experience. So when we talked on the phone, she's sharing all the things that she's learned as she went through it. So I feel like learned experience is so much more powerful. So from hormone shifts to mindset shifts, Leni shares compassionate, science-informed advice on building a sustainable and joyful relationship with exercise.
First, we're going to talk about what inspired Leni to specialize in menopause fitness coaching.
And then what she wishes more women understood about their bodies during menopause, especially when it comes to movement.
And finally, what role grace and flexibility play in creating a movement routine that sticks. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. But before we do all that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your, quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our wait list, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
All right. So Leni, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
Let's start with what led you, and I know that your path has like kind of gone a few different directions, but what has inspired you and led you to where you are within your fitness coaching?
Yeah. So, you know, as I think about the group of women that I coach, midlife women in perimenopause, menopause, it didn't start out this way, but I think as I've gone through this transition and I'm able to look back and connect all the dots, it just seems natural that I want to help women and coach them through something that I don't feel like there was a lot of information for me out there. So like when I went through menopause, it didn't hit me. It didn't blindside me like a lot of people talk about. It just kind of snuck up on me. And during perimenopause in my 40s is when I became introduced to CrossFit, this was back in 2007. And it was just a whole new way for me to think about working out. And I was so busy learning all the different things that we did in CrossFit that I really wasn't paying too much attention to what might have been going on in my body. And there was nobody talking about symptoms of menopause. And if they were, it just really wasn't, there wasn't that much information. So I know that when I look back, there were signs, there was joint pain, some night sweats, but I feel like I was just too busy lifting and having fun that I wasn't paying attention. But then all at once, when I went into menopause at 56, I kind of snuck in and I'm like, oh, I feel pretty good. You know, maybe this thing is going to be easy for me. And then bam, the wheels fell off the wagon.
As and, it does in life.
Yes. And it was like, wait a minute. So this is what brain fog is. This is what insomnia, it could be associated with this. And this is in 2020. And people are starting to talk about it. So, you know.
Do you think your prior fitness experience delayed the onset of symptoms? Like, do you think that exercise has a real impact on how severe people's symptoms are?
You know what? I think that's a good question. And I would say yes, possibly. I don't have any papers to back that up, but I think a lot of it, they say, can be genetic. You know, when did your mom go through menopause? But like, my mom didn't really talk about it. She just, as many of our moms, just kind of went through it. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if my fitness all throughout my 40s and 50s helped me navigate it better. But I ended up going on hormone replacement at age 57, and that was super helpful. But I feel like just going through all of the things, even with that solid fitness foundation, it opened my eyes. And most women, including myself, weren't taught what's going on, what's happening in menopause. And we, you know, I've come to realize that you don't have to work out harder like you did in your 20s and 30s. You just have to work out smarter. And so I want to impart whatever I have learned through my own experience and what I've learned, you know, just reading and researching. That's what I want to pass on to women who are going through this.
So you just kind of touched on it, right? Like your preconceptions about what exercise should look like changed, you know, when you're menopausal. What are some common myths or mistakes you see when it comes to fitness and menopause right now?
Oh yeah, there is so much misinformation out there. And like I said, I do like to come at this from an evidence-based perspective. I don't like scaring women or fear-mongering, but some of the myths out there are more cardio is better. And we're finding out that that's not the answer. There's a lot of things, since our hormones are all a little bit wacky, estrogen and progesterone are declining. The body becomes more sensitive to stress. You know, people talk about cortisol levels. So I think obviously cortisol is a thing. I think it gets overblown in the healthosphere, but it is a thing. And like excessive cardio can put extra stress on the body.
What about excessive weightlifting? Because I've heard the same thing about weightlifting too heavy when you're in menopause. Do you think that's a thing, or do you think it becomes even more important to lift heavy when you're in menopause?
I think it's more important, but you have to do it smart. Like I remember when I started, I was so excited to learn how to back squat and how to press and how to do all these things. And I just wanted to put weight on the bar. And the consideration that you need to make in menopause is that, you know, your joints are affected by that, and your tendons, that tissue can be affected by the decrease in estrogen. So I did have some injuries, and I don't know if it was because I was loading too quickly and, you know, my muscles could support it, but my tendons and joints maybe couldn't. But the thing is, lifting weights is the probably biggest thing, the big, most important thing that women need to do. We need to stave off that natural muscle decline that comes with aging. So, you know, women are all worried about getting bulky. That was a thing definitely when I started back in the early 2000s. I think it's getting better, but that is a myth. I wish I could get bulky. I would love to be jacked, but it just takes a lot to get there.
Yeah, I went to the gym recently with my daughter and she's like, let's go lift the weights. And I'm like, because unlike you, I don't have a passion for it. But it was eye-opening to me because my daughter's 12 and on one particular machine, she could lift more than I could. And I was like, this is really pathetic. I'm like, this Uh-oh. Is like an indication to self that you might need to get a routine, right? That progressive overload.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think if you are sticking, you know, I think there's a lot of women out there that have a certain set of weights that they always go to, that they always use. I'm going to do 12 reps and I'm going to do 3 sets of it. And you start to see a decline in the stress on the muscle. And so therefore, it's not going to change much. Mm-hmm. You know, another myth is people feel like they have to get smashed after a workout. Like they want to come out, they want to be sore, they want to be.
Oh, interesting. They want evidence that they worked hard.
Yes. And this, I won't say this of all women. I will say this of particularly women that I used to see in the CrossFit gym. Maybe it's that type, but I do feel like there's a lot of women that feel that need, but as we age, that recovery piece is so important. And again, we don't have to work out harder. We need to work out smarter.
I do remember when I was on estrogen blockers, I had a really hard time recovering from my workouts. And I think so much of my brain was like, you want to get back to where you were before all of this happened. So I would like jump straight into like lifting as much as I could and thinking that it would like I was going to go like no time had passed. And I would then spend a week trying to recover. And you have to be so much kinder on yourself as your body is adjusting to like the hormonal balance, because you don't realize how much that helps with your recovery.
Well, and I mean, you mentioned injuries, right? Like now, if you look at exercise as self-care and a way to maintain your muscle mass, but you get injured, now you're out of commission for a while, right? So it's kind of a negative cycle.
Oh, 100%. And I got caught up in that cycle a little bit. I would just, you know, push. Oh, dang, shoulder injury. Then you'd have to pull back. But then it would affect everything. It mentally, too. It was really hard. So, yeah, I think we just have to be smart, definitely smarter. You know, back to myths. Another one is that I hear women talking about HIIT a lot, which is great, but it doesn't have to be an hour long because then it's not really HIIT. It might be higher intensity, but if you can go for an hour, then you haven't maxed out that intensity. Yeah. HIIT is more like true HIIT. And Dr. Stacey Sims talks about this a lot, is polarized training, which means you are going as hard as you can, maximal effort for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and then complete rest, you know, a period of a minute or two after that. So you can hit that hard drive again. That's something that's really important for us to throw in once in a while, but it doesn't have to be an hour.
Yeah. Let me ask you about listening to your hormones and as you're going to through perimenopause. So we had a guest on who was talking about sort of what happens with your hormones as you are moving through perimenopause and endomenopause. And we're going to have a guest on, I think her episode's right after yours, that will be talking about like how your hormones, like when you are cycling, fluctuate and how you should match your exercise to with your hormone cycles. But as you're moving through perimenopause and then menopause, like what kind of grace do you need to have for yourself on like, this is how I'm feeling today, this is how I'm showing up, because there's not necessarily always like a really even pattern. And then once you are in menopause, like what could be expected of your hormones and like how you're going to feel about your workouts?
Okay. Well, I'll start with hormones. You know, that decline in estrogen and progesterone as you're going, well, it fluctuates so much in perimenopause and then it plummets in menopause. And that really affects, obviously, your muscle mass, because we know that there is a 3-8% decline per decade starting in your 40s. I think that's the number that I keep seeing. And so, and especially once you hit 60, it really starts to, that muscle loss starts to accelerate. So we have to focus on maintaining that muscle mass. That's huge. And then as we were talking, we have to recognize that recovery is going to take longer and, you know, less beating yourself into the ground and more, you know, smart training, understanding that, you know, joints and tendons might be a little more susceptible to injury. So, for example, on the eccentric or the lowering part of the exercise, take your time. Really focusing on form instead of, you know, just going heavy. Focus on that form, get really good at that, and then load appropriately. And then as far as the grace, offering yourself grace and flexibility at this stage in the game, that is the secret sauce. Because some days you're going to wake up and you're going to feel great. You're going to feel like you can conquer the world. And then you may have a really bad night's sleep. You know, again, progesterone can affect your sleep. And so you wake up, you're not feeling it in the morning, and you may not be able to go as hard. And so being able to be flexible in how you show up every day based on your body. And I feel like we haven't been so connected to our bodies. We've for so long been, I don't know, women have been gaslighted into, you know, even at doctor's visits, like, oh, this is just a thing you're going to have to go through, or, you know, it's all in your head. That's another thing.
Well, you mentioned HRT, which is a hot topic in our community, because a lot of women will be advised by their doctor, oh, you shouldn't do that if you had a hormone related, you know, breast cancer. Although the data doesn't really support that when you dig in. But there's a lot of fear around HRT. I also think that a lot of women think, oh, the answer to weight loss, for example, is HRT. But HRT doesn't necessarily help you lose weight. It may, I think, through, and correct me if I'm wrong, it may help you maintain muscle, which is important. So when we're talking about having grace for yourself too, I think it's changing your mindset from weight loss to body composition and maintaining strength versus like pounds on a scale. And 100. I suspect with the kind of fitness training that you have in your past, like, you understand that body composition matters so much more than what the number says.
Oh my gosh, 100%. And I'm glad you brought that up, because when you're younger, when you want to look better in your pants, your skinny jeans or whatever, I always call think about that, it was so much easier, it seemed, to just, you know, drop a few pounds or drop 5 pounds or whatever. But once you get in this crazy hormone situation, it is harder. And when I went through menopause, like, I put some weight on and it was all in the middle. And it was like, okay, I'm still going hard, but, you know, menopause is here and she ain't playing, you know?
She's taking names.
Yes, she is taking some names. So I had to adjust my mindset and really have a sit down with myself and say, okay, what are we chasing here, sis? And it was about, I want to be strong and capable and independent. And I want to feel great when I am in my happy golden years, my 80s. I'm 60 now. So I realize that everything I'm doing now is like putting money in the health bank. As long as I can, I'm going to continue to show up and put money in that bank. Because when I get older, when we all get older, that's when we start making those withdrawals. And I want to have that independence and that freedom and that vitality. So that's the mindset shift that I think a lot of us need to make and get out of that, what do I look like, and look more at what can I do? What am I capable of?
Oh, I love that. And I love the idea of the health bank. I want to talk a little bit about flexibility and then how to like sort of incorporate a fitness routine as you're moving through perimenopause and into menopause that will stick. Before we do that, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do it. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News! Boobs in the News!
All right, you ready for this?
Yes.
Another animal one.
Okay, great.
Miniature Dachshund.
Dachshund?
Dachshund.
That's a dachshund.
That's a dachshund? You don't say Dutch hound?
No. Just you.
Yeah. Oh, yep. I just saw the picture.
Miniature wiener dog.
That's a really odd pronunciation or spelling for that.
That's how you spell
charming.
It.
All right. Yeah. Miniature dachshund found after 529 days in the wild on Kangaroo Island.
Wow.
529 days.
Yeah.
I mean, you're almost looking at like 2 years there.
Yeah.
I mean, not quite, but.
Do you think he found like a little mama kangaroo and
okay,
he
so
became
it says,
a little Joey?
It says the miniature dachshund who fled from its owners on Australia's Kangaroo Island has been rescued 549 days after being in the wild. The dog, named Valerie, fled from a Stokes Bay campsite while visiting with her owners. Can you imagine being there with your dog and then it runs into the freaking island and you don't see them again? How would you leave? Like, well, to go back home. Like, I would be...
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, Sarah wouldn't have a problem because she doesn't love animals like I do, but...
Don't say that. Bo's right there.
Oh, yeah, Bo.
I love you, Bo.
Bo's our favorite...
podcast friend.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, Bo. We didn't mean it. All right, so it says the duo spent a week searching the area with the help from locals, but were unable to locate Valerie. The couple feared their pet had fallen victim to one of the island's many predators. So I guess Kangaroo Island's in Australia. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said that or not. But in mid-March this year, rescuers with Kangala Wildlife Rescue revealed that there had been confirmed sightings of Valerie alive and well on the island. How hilarious.
Can you imagine what kind of dog you get back after that?
Okay, so they said a nonprofit group stepped up its search efforts, and they had used like a t-shirt with the scent of the owners, you know, as bait to try to get it to come. And she actually went into her crate, the one that was set up to look like the one at home, and she went to sleep. Rescuers said that Valerie is now decompressing from her adventure in the wilderness and will soon be reunited with her family on the Australian mainland.
Well, that dog needs to write a book.
Seriously, like
that's actually got children's book material written all over it.
I think this is hilarious. So somebody wrote on social, I guess from the nonprofit, for anyone who has ever lost a pet, your feelings are valid and never give up hope. Sometimes good things happen to good people.
Or good dash hounds.
My bad. There's no boob in this story, I don't really think, no. Except for the dachshund who decided to go into the jungle for 529 days.
You won't do
days.
That again.
Holy cow, man. That is a long time to be missing your pet.
That is a long time.
All right, there's your boobs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
Okay, so talk a little bit, because I feel like I see this all the time, and as people age and they get older, so we've talked a lot about like exercise, the right type, and lifting weights, but mm-hmm. let's talk about flexibility. And I think this probably plays into the whole, as you age, you lose that elasticity in your joints and your ligaments. But I want to talk about why that continues to be important, and then how to incorporate a whole routine that you'll stick to.
Yeah, so... as you were talking about flexibility, that's so important. And things like, you know, I think about yoga, for example, and how when I was younger and I had limited time because I had four kids running around and a busy schedule, I didn't want to go to yoga because it was too slow and I wasn't getting smashed. You know, I wasn't getting laid out on the floor after the workout, and it just didn't make sense to me. Now, I will say starting in my 50s, it started to make a lot of sense to me. It was like, oh, okay, so I need to spend time stretching and moving my body in ways that, you know, affect my inner organs and my joints and my tissues. And having that flexibility just goes such a far way for, you know, being able to move with ease as you age.
Well, and I was going to say too, like, there's this whole concept that, you know, people are just now starting to talk about, which is like functional exercise. Mm-hmm. So it's always, mm-hmm. you know, in the past, it's like, oh, you got to go to the gym and you got to lift these weights in this prescribed manner and things like that. Mm-hmm. But now mm-hmm. learning to do things that are going to keep you functional as mm-hmm. you age, doing the things mm-hmm. you want to do, because most people want to stay in their homes as right. long as humanly possible. You know, they're trying yes. to avoid the nursing home, which comes from when you're a fall risk. When you're a fall mm-hmm. risk, and people can't be there to watch you all the times when you end up in a nursing home.
Yeah, you know how you stop being a fall risk? You practice getting up and getting down.
Right. But that's yeah. function. That's yes. that's functional exercise. Yeah. And yeah. so, or, you know, lifting heavy things, right? So that yeah. you can pull your groceries out of your car and get them yeah. into your house. And that might seem a little premature right now when we're talking about it in our 40s, 50s, or even 60s. No. But that functional exercise piece, like, you know, People need to redefine what exercise or movement looks like, because it's all about quality of life.
Yeah. I like what you said about the yoga, too, because I found yoga to be the time when I was more introspective about my body. Like, I think mm-hmm. when I'm like lifting weights, I'm in my testosterone sort of mode.
Right.
I'm being competitive with the person who's lifting next to me, or I'm like challenging my own self. Like, what did I do last time? But mm-hmm. it's like when you sit down and you like give your body the care of like, can you pull your knee into your chest? And like, what is it like yeah. laying down and getting back up? You're more evaluating where you mm-hmm. are and what's your baseline right now.
Yeah, it's like the yin and yang in exercise. Yeah. Like that young energy is that weight room and really testing your limits. But we need that balance of the yin of like you said, you know, body scans and, you know, paying attention to what it feels like in certain, for example, in yoga, certain poses, and that connection piece, that somatic connection is huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to kind of wrap up with what your final thoughts are and what you want women to know and where they can find you. But before we do that, let's listen to our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors. All right. Well, I want a couple of your final thoughts. First is where, if somebody is maybe like new to exercise and they're perimenopause, menopause, like, or maybe they're just coming back to it, what would be your first bit of advice for them?
Well, start where you are. Like, you're going to get all, like, I can sit here and give you a recommendations of all the tools that, you know, I think are important to have in this midlife toolbox. But the most important thing is that you're not broken and you're not too late. You can start anywhere. So start where you are. That might look like walking, getting out and moving your body. And then, you know, from there, build on that. Walking is great. Is it enough to stave off muscle loss? Probably not. From there, you know, it might be great to get, if you're really unsure, to get a trainer to show you how to lift some weights. Also, there's great resources online. Move your body in a way that feels good to you and in a way that you will be consistent about it, because consistency is so important. But we have to lift weights. We have to stress the muscle. If we do want to do, like, for example, I have chickens out in the backyard and I have to haul these 40-pound bags out of my car, onto the ground, then over my shoulder and to the chicken coop. And that is functional fitness, but I couldn't do that if I didn't know how to have proper form in a deadlift, mm-hmm. or how to care for, you know, get something from the ground to the midsection and up on my shoulder. So we are training for life here. I've got a grandson that's 15 months and chasing him all day and picking him up and grabbing him before he goes down the stairs. All of those things I wouldn't be able to do if I didn't have some base level of fitness. So the things I would, if you were to have a menopausal toolkit, I would say do some strength training. If you can, you know, 2 to 4 times a week, incorporate some power, some explosive movements, some jumping, because that's going to put stress on your bones, which will make them stronger. Walking, some zone 2 stuff, some stuff that's easier to do for your cardiorespiratory fitness, and then some short targeted HIIT, maybe 10 minutes of all out and then rest, and then all out and rest. That's kind of the toolbox. And if a woman is like, you know, I don't know where to start small and build.
Love that. I love it. It's much more attainable and easy when you think about just those little chunks. Where can people find you?
I have a website, lenihoffmanwellness.com.
Will you spell that out? And
yes, it's okay. LeneyHoffmanNn wellness, WELLNESS. LeneyHoffmanWellness.com. So, was it you that said, I've never seen so many double letters?
Yeah, you have a lot of double letters.
Yeah.
Makes you memorable. Yeah.
And then I'm on Instagram at LeneyHoff, LeneyHoff. And FYI, Leney comes from Kathleen, which is my real name.
I never
But
knew
everybody
that.
Calls me Leney.
That's
yes,
pretty, that's pretty cute.
Yeah. So yeah, people are always like, oh, what's your name? Lenny. I get Lenny a lot.
Oh, nice.
They obviously missed the double E.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
That's okay.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Lenny, for being on. We really appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. This has been wonderful. I appreciate you giving me the time.
All right. Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.